This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
You can stick it to the man and big tech. Join our FTL social mastodon at social.freetalklive.com.
And Reed Kevin.
Welcome.
Oops, Reed. Sorry.
It's all good, man. We can do it that way, too.
In the virtual studio.
Yes, Reed in his own studio where he does his show, which is Naturalist Capitalist. You can find more of that on YouTube and on Odyssey, preferably Odyssey. Hopefully Odyssey is going to be staying with us. We did have Jeremy Kaufman on earlier this week, and we're planning to have him back. He only had like a half an hour he could spend with us, but he did say he'd come back, so we're going to bring him back next week. After the next hearing that they're going to be having with Library, there's still the judge in the case, in the Library case. He's still trying to decide whether or not Odyssey should be targeted as well by the SEC for what they call so-called disgorgement, which is essentially where they destroy a business and disgorge it of all of its whatever value remains.
Terrible.
Yeah, it's absolutely horrifying what's going on over there.
According to the judge, they're trying to take blood from a stone.
Well, yeah, because basically Library has been completely obliterated financially by this entire process. We're talking, of course, about Library, which is this media sharing protocol. We've been using it for years here on Free Talk Live to share our videos and such. In fact, we've been uploading audio files to it recently as well. It's been a slow process because we're literally trying to upload the entire history of, of Free Talk Live. So maybe that'll be done in the next couple of years. But there's a channel there called FTL Audio for those of you that want to check that out. But they launched Odyssey, and then they kind of cut the cord on Odyssey, and they let it go its own separate way as its own separate corporation. But now the SEC is saying, well, because y'all were related at one time, we think we should be able to destroy Odyssey also. So that's essentially going to be up to the judge. Now, the judge in the case did indicate that he's not likely to make that ruling, not likely to allow Odyssey to also be destroyed. But that said, based on the filings that were put into court by the Odyssey CEO, they're not doing so hot as far as their
SEC can go pound sand.
Yeah.
And they're getting nowhere with this. What are they doing for society on this? Absolutely nothing.
They're not there for society, dude. They're there to protect the banking industry and the investment industry. They're there to protect the stockbrokers.
Yeah.
They're there to protect those big investment houses. That's what their job is.
It's the SecRit society, as in secret society.
Yeah.
I tried to make a pun there. I don't know if you got it.
So, anyway, check these guys out on Odyssey. Joe's over there is breaking the flaw. Free Talk Live, we got our own channel at video.freetalklive.com, and Reed is Naturalist Capitalist. And do what you can to support Odyssey. They've got a monthly subscription that you can do, and that'll knock out the ads, because there are some ads on Odyssey.
Yeah.
You know, you got to make some money somehow.
Yep. They didn't have ads.
A month?
They didn't always have ads.
No, they didn't. No, but
they had to do it because the SEC, and how else are you going to make money?
Well, in the beginning of Odyssey, they were kind of part of Library. They were supported by Library. Library had the Library token, of course,
right,
and it had a lot of them because it had a pre-mine. And then what happened was the SEC came after Library and just obliterated their finances. So they could no longer support Odyssey with the Library token, which is kind of what they were doing in the beginning, as I understand
right.
it. There was a loan that was given of like $1.6 million worth of Library tokens, I think, to Odyssey, and that loan's never going to get paid back.
You know? Probably not.
And I don't think they expected that it was going to get paid back. It was just something they could do because they had the money.
People cared too.
Yeah, and they had the money to do it, and now they have nothing. They've been completely decimated. Not only decimated, but completely destroyed. Like, people have not been getting paid
right
at Library. So it's just a tragic case. And we are following it here.
The Odyssey is a godsend because a lot, like, you can get your YouTube channel synced up. Mm-hmm. And a lot of people just don't have the backup, especially, like, live streams. And Odyssey, it's forever there.
Well, like, we hope.
Well,
it's on libraries.
It's forever on the blockchain. And
well, that's the thing. You got to understand how the system works, Joa. If Odyssey goes away.
I understand.
So what's happening is, for those who aren't familiar, Odyssey is not the same thing as library. When Odyssey left library and became its own company, one of the reasons why was because they have slightly different missions.
Right.
Like, Odyssey's job is not to provide free access for all media. They have some rules.
Yeah.
So, like, you can't have porn on Odyssey, for instance. Library, it's a protocol. They can't stop you. If you want to upload porn to library, there's nothing they can do to stop you. It's completely permissionless. Odyssey, on the other hand, is a platform, and there's some rules that they have to play by. And so one of the things they did over at Odyssey was they made they had to hire these centralized servers, basically, because library is kind of like a torrent. Meaning that library is essentially takes the torrent technology and it makes it searchable. So that's one thing that torrents never really had prior to libraries. You could never really easily figure out what torrents were out there.
Right.
You couldn't, you know, there's no like easy search.
There has to be a listing site, that sort of thing.
Yeah, there would have to be a listing site. And of course, the feds are always taking them down, that sort of thing. But the point is, with the torrent, if there's only one seed of the video you want to get on a torrent and it's a really slow connection,
forget about it.
You'll get it. It just might take you a month or something like that, right? And so if there's a video that you want to play, people expect quick, right? When you go and you press play on a video, you don't want to sit there waiting 5, 10, 20, 30 seconds for it to buffer in and then start playing. People are used to click play, it starts, right? And so in order to get that level of service for Odyssey, which is supposed to be a video platform, they had to hire centralized servers. So when you click on Breaking the Flaw, or you click on Naturalist Capitalist or Free Talk Live, while there may be some people on Library who are hosting those files, it's not coming from them. It's coming from Odyssey's centralized servers. So if Odyssey goes out of business, then if your videos are not hosted by someone, they're not there.
Yeah.
Right? So just keep that in mind. So that's why it's important to keep Odyssey going. If you like the service they provide, you should either subscribe directly to Odyssey, because they do have a premium membership. I believe it's, $3-5 a month or something like that. Or you can also subscribe directly to the channels that you support. Yeah. I don't know if you guys have enabled that. It took me a couple of months, but I finally did it this week.
Oh, I haven't really thought about it.
Yeah, finally, it didn't take long. I mean, it was like, you know, they shot me a couple of emails like 3 months ago, and it was just one of those things that I kind of put in the back of my mind, like, oh, yeah, I'm dealing with this court stuff.
I did list my first video that you have to pay with the LBC token.
I saw that.
You didn't see it because you didn't pay.
No, you're right.
You have to buy those LBC tokens, which you can't do, Ian.
That's right. Yeah, I can't do that.
But the thing is that this
the title,
video,
I saw the title. And it was amusing.
I got some really juicy footage.
What was it? You got to talk about it.
Well, the only way to find out what the video is if you pay 1 million LBC token.
But isn't the title something like the SEC, you'll never see this?
Yeah, no. It's the SEC. The SEC doesn't want you to see this.
Right.
And it's 1 million LBC token. And, you know, if someone pays for it, thank you. I probably, you know, give it back to them, except if it's the SEC. I'm trying to get the SEC.
Yeah, I see what you're saying.
So maybe I shouldn't say that.
Well, it seemed obvious, right? Like you're trying to troll the SEC into buying the video, which I think is great. And that is another thing you can do with Odyssey and Library.
It is a really revealing video, though, I'll tell you that right now.
You can set up. Oh my God. That sounds kind of sexual.
I'm not getting into details, but yes.
Yeah, well, you got to pay the million LBC, which isn't that much money, right? Like 1 cent.
7,000?
LBC went up this week.
Yeah.
It
went up like 90% right after the hearing.
It went up like 200 or 300% or something like that.
Wow, really?
So anyway, all of that aside, we were talking about video. And there's this video that came out from NBC Boston. I'm going to play the audio from this this video track here. And I think, Reed, you said you hadn't seen this one yet?
I haven't.
Okay. So you won't be able to see it, but you'll be able to hear it. So here it is.
had this mask on it.
Yeah. All right, so got to describe what's being shown here. So there's footage here from Porkfest, the Porcupine Freedom Festival. Every year at the Porcupine Freedom Festival, they do the burning of the porcupine. Somebody makes like a wooden porcupine, and they a fairly large thing, and they bring it out with some level of ceremony. And then they set it on this campfire, the fire that goes like all, pretty much all day and all night at the Porcupine Freedom Festival. And so they burn the porcupine, and apparently people are also throwing masks on the fire, or maybe there were masks on the porcupine. I'm not sure. It's just a brief clip. But that's what they're referring to. And there's, you know, there's children, of course, because it's the Porcupine Freedom Festival, so there's always kids everywhere. So it opens up with this this pyre.
I tell them, we are the party of anti-government. They say, that's awesome. Holy cow, I didn't even know you guys existed. Where have you been all my life?
So I love the way this opens because, you know, this is NBC Boston, and Boston, of course, is full of big government people. Right? So this is going to be seen presumably by people who love the government, and they're seeing Don't Tread on Me. There's the Don't Tread on Me flag that comes up right after that. People are chanting. And for us, we're just like, oh, yeah, it's Porkfest.
Yeah, right? Normal.
Right, yeah, this is, we know these people. This is cool. We've been to this event. And for people that are not familiar with this movement, for people that are, you know, big government lovers, they are going to be livid at seeing this this kind of footage. So I'm just kind of relishing the idea of what you know, the reactions are going to be to this. Here's a little more.
The Free State Project is simply about getting people who believe in freedom and limited government to move to New Hampshire.
We are the live free or die state.
We all agree on the one important thing, which is non-aggression principle. Don't hurt people, don't take their stuff.
Don't hurt people, don't take their stuff.
We believe in economic freedom, personal freedom. We want government to be as local as possible.
I just want lower taxes, smaller government, more individual freedom.
If you're a libertarian and you're the live and let live crowd, just come to New Hampshire.
It's really tough to hate us once you meet us.
I was moving for a libertarian political migration to join like a little crazy freedom utopia.
I spent 40 years feeling very isolated, and now I have thousands and thousands of people.
This is real. You know, a real community. This is a real project. This is really happening.
We want to be here to live our best life. Who can argue with that?
So throughout that whole basically minute, which is honestly, it just sounds like a puff piece for the Free State Project so far, right? Like it's all these great clips of these wonderful people that have moved here. They're expressing themselves on what they believe, which is, you know, small government, more freedom, all that stuff that, you know, people that move here for the Free State Project really appreciate. And I think that's wonderful. I mean, if people just watch the first minute of this video and they're libertarian, it's going to be persuasive. They're going to want to check out the Free State Project. But, of course, they're going to bring in the other side here, as they should. You know, there's got to be drama. I mean, certainly there's drama within the Free State Project.
Hell yeah, there is.
You know, any libertarian movement, there's always going to be infighting.
We're still human basically.
Yeah, stupid crap is going to happen with a group of thousands of people. But they bring in the outside, pro-government, big government status types here in a little bit. And by the way, there's a clip here. By the way, this is very well edited. I just got to hand it to them. I mean, this is incredible. They spent a lot of time on this, and it looks great. The music's good. The audio is nice. The video is high quality, and it's well edited. There's, as you're hearing all these comments from people, there's a lot of footage from like Porkfest and other things going on here. So as the music's sort of fading down, it's actually Ian Underwood, I think, firing a gun, which, you know, again, to us, it's just like, yeah, it's normal, whatever. People go out to the gun range all the time. It's New Hampshire. But for people in Boston, it's going to be like, man, they've got guns.
Yeah.
This is why I don't go to New Hampshire.
A sense of urgency to address what's happening. My heart was racing and I felt sick to my stomach.
People are just waking up to it.
They have been very serious about having people move into our state to change the way of life in New Hampshire.
Now, you've got to know who's talking in this clip here. A couple of the people I don't recognize. I've had three different people so far. But this one I do recognize. Her name is Zandra Rice Hawkins, and she is the activist behind a group. She's the main person behind a group called Granite State Progress.
Yep.
And this is one of the biggest anti-freedom, pro-government groups in New Hampshire. And, of course, the irony...
Oh, sorry, you're about to say it. Go ahead.
The irony of this woman criticizing the Free State Project for moving to New Hampshire is she herself also moved to New Hampshire
yes.
to take this job for this organization, Granite State So-Called Progress, which is, as I understand it, like one of those George Soros-funded organizations. So she's doing the exact same thing. She's coming to New Hampshire trying to change it for her beliefs. And, of course, I don't know if they're going to reveal that in this series. I hope they do.
I hope so, too.
I hope they do. But
it's really cool because I saw her, I recognized her, then I started hearing her speak. So I remember seeing her almost exact same background and everything
mm-hmm.
from a Free State Project documentary that came out years
oh, yeah.
and years before.
Yeah, they've been around for a while. I'm going to go to the phones here. We'll continue with the video, but we do have a gentleman on the line here. You are on the air, caller. What is your name? Hello.
Hello.
Hi, you're on the air. Go ahead.
Well, howdy. I'm a first-time listener to you guys. I just found you off of one of the YouTube channels.
Excellent.
I've just recently started doing some research in the 1A movement. I'm a veteran, disabled vet, and, card-carrying 2A guy. And,
great. Okay.
Been around the world, and I'm probably one of the few guys that'll be in the auditing community that actually has an airplane called the Velocity that's going to be flying from city to city to just do some things and what have you. I've started a new channel and, you know, a couple of just subscribers with some friends and what have you.
Right on. You want to drop your channel name?
Sure, sure. At Flying Auditor. At Flying Auditor.
Okay, so just to clarify, you said you're going to go and fly from city to city and then do audits in different areas of the country?
Yeah, just different areas of the country once I get my bird up and
wow.
up and fly. Absolutely.
That's really cool.
Absolutely.
New concept. Cool, man.
Well, that is cool.
Well, you know, a lot of you young guys, I'm an older guy, but when I'm old enough to be probably some of you guys' dad and granddad, but you know what I've discovered, this big movement, especially with the ability to put people of power into account. And if somebody goes and looks at my about page on my YouTube channel, they'll see I've got 35,000 hours of a canine Leo. So, you know, narcotics guy. And I was doing it in the military for years and this long time ago.
You said you spent 35,000 hours as a law enforcement officer?
Yeah.
Oh, wow. Okay. So you know the...
Well,
the...
In the military.
Oh,
law
okay.
enforcement, same thing.
MP. You're an MP.
No. I'm a canine law enforcement guy.
Oh, okay.
Interesting.
But
yeah,
military. Yeah. You worked for the Army?
No, Air Force.
Air Force. Okay.
And, you know, back in the day, I talked to all the Leo guys because, you know, there's a boatload of good guys and a boatload of bad guys.
Mm.
But I told all of them, all the people I used to pull over were combat-trained killers. Now, that's kind of changed today in today's world because everybody out there is just crazy. I shouldn't say everybody, there's a lot of crazy people, as we all know as we watch these videos. But what really gets me incensed is the abuse that some of these crazy Leos are doing out there. They're just
mm-hmm.
absolutely ignoring the 2A or the 1A movement. And one of the videos I've got up is on Jeff Gray, who's
yep.
Honor Your Oath, at Honor Your Oath. You know, he's an Army vet, and, you know, all he does is hang with a sign, you know, God bless the homeless vets, and these a-holes decide to do something, you know, that violate his rights.
Yeah.
Didn't he used to be with Photography Is Not a Crime? That name sounds familiar to me.
I believe it is.
Who?
John Gray. Yeah.
Jeff Gray.
I don't know.
I know there's another channel out there, Photography Is Not a Crime. I've listened for a bunch of them, and I applaud you guys for going out there and doing this because it needs to happen from within. They say changes need to be made at your level, you know, city level, county level, and then state level.
So
and,
I take it you've been flying for some time? That's the thing
yeah.
you've been doing? Okay, so
yeah.
So what are you waiting on? You said you have to get a plane, or what?
Well, I know I've got my plane. If you look at the Velocity, the mm-hmm. pusher, which means the engine's in the back, and it's got a sweep wing. And
nice.
If you go to my channel, you'll see my plane. You'll see me when I bought it.
Okay, but and one more time, what was the channel?
At Flying Auditor.
Like the word at?
Well, it's the sign.
At the symbol.
The at sign. Yeah, that's for the YouTube channel. It's the handle.
That's cool, man. That's cool. Definitely. I'm looking forward to it. Now, have you done some auditing already, or are you just going
to
kick this thing off?
I'm actually headed to Florida to meet with Rogue Nation and James Madison.
Yes.
Audits. Eric McDonough.
Some of my favorites.
Yeah, I'll be meeting with him, and I'll be meeting with those guys, and we're going to be talking. And
that's cool.
And I make a lot of FOIA requests on the PDs for their canine. I'm very specific in what I ask. And what I'm discovering, you've heard of a guy named Barry Cooper.
Oh, yeah, yeah. We've had Barry on the show in the past.
Barry and I are in communication, and, you know, I'm west from, I'm not far from where he was a canine Leo as well.
Mm, okay.
But he got railroaded. He got railroaded.
Oh, yeah, he did. That's why he had to leave the United States.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. And
LRN.FM.
Broadcast radio. I'm not going to drop your call, but please don't.
FCC, I forgot.
Please don't say anything like that again. Just when in doubt, just leave it out, okay?
My bad.
Okay, it's okay.
But, you know, the QI needs to go away, and then, you know, canine are you know, I'm a cat, I love dogs, but they're a weapon, and they're an instrument, mm-hmm. and they need to be calibrated. And I can guarantee you what, I can go to any PD department, pick up a canine, any other drug dogs, get on that dog for 30 minutes to an hour, get friendly with it, and start a search, and I can false alert that dog.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and they know how to do it, too. Yeah, I'm curious, when you used to be in the military, you were a drug enforcement officer. Have you changed your mind about the war on drugs, sort of like Barry has, Barry Cooper?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, I've been that way for years and years. Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, living in Texas, you know, the magic herb. I mean, when I used to take a controlled substance, the security that we had was a huge Ziploc bag with 5 pounds of fresh-cut weed. And I'm telling the feds, I'm sitting there, how do you know nobody's not, you know, taking some out and putting oregano in because it wasn't controlled like the heroin, AIDS, and all those
right.
things?
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, it just boils down. I tell everybody, you know, if you understand the process of what needs to be done on the FOIA at the state, at the county level, and then you dig into a little deeper, it's important. But I'm going to be putting out some videos on the checklist. As a pilot, we have checklists. And if you go into the auditing, even what you're doing for your show, you prepare a checklist to run your show. It should be no different when you go out into the 1A community. What are you willing to give up? I mean, you know, your assets could be on the line. You need to have everything prepared. There's sure. a guy out there that's an ex-cop. He's a sheriff. He has a channel called We the People University. Isaiah Israel.
Yep. Isaiah Israel, that's right. Yep.
Yeah, Israel. He's got a great app. And the Rogue Nation actually has an app out that, you know, you can report on cops on his app. I can't remember the name of it right off the top of my head. But anyway,
I'm looking forward to hearing the stories and seeing what you come up with. What was your name, Carl? I never caught that.
Greg,
thank you for the call tonight.
Very
I definitely
cool
appreciate
channel.
It. Flying Auditor is the name
at
of his
Flying
channel.
Flying Auditor.
Definitely going to be one to watch. And I appreciate the call here. The number, if you want to join us, 603-283-6160. We got more coming up here, including more from the trailer from NBC Boston about the Free State Project. It's Free Talk Live.
Looking for that edge during those intimate moments? We see many ads for enhancement, but the side effects include death. At GCN Team, we should change the Healthy Body Brain and Heart Pack to the Healthy Libido Pack. The brain and heart are not the only organs that require a healthy vascular system. For proper blood flow at the right moment, go to GCNteam.com or call 877-878-4203. That's 877-878-4203. That's 877-878-4203.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions. SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs generator and lung delivery system at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
USA News Update.
Senators are calling on the Attorney General and National Intelligence Director for access to documents found in President Biden and former Vice President Pence's homes. Democratic Senator Mark Warner and Republican Senator Marco Rubio wrote a letter following up on a 2022 request they made for access to documents seized from Trump's Florida home. House Democratic Leader Hakeem Jeffries slamming Republicans over the removal of Congresswoman Ilhan Omar from a key committee.
It's not a public policy debate. It's about political revenge.
The House voted on a resolution to remove Omar from the Foreign Affairs Committee as punishment for past anti-Semitic comments. A new flavor of Dr. Pepper, strawberries and cream, hitting shelves across the country this month. Dave Collins, USA News.
I had no idea it would destroy my life, but before it happened, I had a successful business in Austin, Texas. Everyone laughed at me when I shut that business down, but I could not ignore the wake-up call. I was volunteering on a project to get locally grown food into a school. That project was a complete failure, and I discovered that there were few local farmers. There's only 4 days' worth of food in the grocery stores, and everything comes 1,500 miles via a just-in-time trucking system. I lost friends and family who told me I was crazy to worry about that, but I kept at it. I'm Marjorie Wildcraft. Those of us who know what's going on in the world know you need to become self-reliant before the dollar collapses. I've created a free webinar at gcnfood.com. I can show you, like I've shown hundreds of thousands of people, how to grow lots of food, even if you have no experience, you're older, or you're out of shape. Do it now, before the stores are boarded up and food is not available at any price. Go to gcnfood.com. gcnfood.com.
When I was a kid, I wanted to be just like Cal Ripken. It's definitely humbling to know that now people are calling me a hero. Instead of finding the IED with my metal detector, the IED found me first, and that resulted in double above-knee amputations. It's hard to describe the feeling of meeting somebody that you've always wanted to be like. There are people now that are looking up to you for their inspiration and to be their role model.
Visit saluteheroes.org to learn more.
I need some extra money. Do I qualify for the Earned Income Tax Credit?
Use the EITC Assistant tool. With just a little information, this tool helps you calculate eligibility with ease and accuracy, get an estimate of how much credit you qualify for, and get a printout of your results before you prepare your return or visit your tax preparer. To use the EITC Assistant tool and see if you're eligible to claim a credit, visit irs.gov/EITC.
Appreciate what we do? Help us advertise, market, and promote for just $5 a month at amp.freetalklive.com.
Yeah, it's Free Talk Live, and you can join the show here. You can bring up whatever you want. The number for you is 603-283-6160. That's 603-283-6160. Ian, Joa, and Reed joining you here tonight. Phones are open. Bring up whatever you want. We can get into, I mentioned something about Putin since Reed brought up China. I got something from old Vlad as well to talk about when we get the chance. But we are talking about something a little closer to home here, and that is NBC Boston has been working very hard. A couple of their producers slash reporters have been in New Hampshire at just about every opportunity they can to come up to something.
Yep.
Any kind of, you know, whether it's just Free Staters hanging out together at the Quill or, you know, some other gathering or some sort of political event or whatever they can come to. They've been getting a ton of footage. I think you said there was like 400 hours that they talked about having in the can here. So they've got a lot from which to pull to make what is going to be a series on the Free State Project and the migration of libertarian activists here to New Hampshire. And I get excited whenever I see news coverage like this because I know that no matter how it comes out, a lot of people get real critical of the media, like, oh, they weren't fair, or they were terrible to us, or they lied, or whatever. And it's like, you know that's what you're going to get from the mainstream media. You know they're going to get facts wrong. Yeah. You know they may even try to skew a story to be, you know, negative or whatever. Now, I will say this about the people here at NBC Boston. I really like them. I found
them
they're
very nice.
They're very, very smart people, and they ask really good questions. Like, they ask thoughtful questions whenever you talk to them.
Not angled questions either.
Yeah, it didn't really seem to be like gotcha kind of questions, right? Like,
right.
They really did seem to have a genuine interest in, you know, what's going on here. Now, they obviously have a job to do, and that job is to portray, quote-unquote, both sides, right? And so that's what they're
doing.
I'm
fine with this.
Yeah, and I'm excited about it because, like I said, if you are a liberty-minded person and you're doing a documentary and you try to go to these haters, these people that love the government, that hate Free State Project people.
Yeah, it's the best recruiting.
You can't get them to talk to you. They're super paranoid. They have their websites. They have the things that they say on their sort of their platforms, and they feel like that's enough. They don't need to talk to anybody else. They don't need to have an actual conversation with a Free Stater. They try to keep us out of their events, for instance, because they don't want to humanize us. They don't want us to actually, like, appear. Sometimes they'll have these gatherings where they'll invite people to, like, the local library or something like that, and they'll put on a big big show about how terrible the Free State Project is, and they will lock down those presentations online. They will very carefully scrutinize anybody who wants to show up and attend one of these things.
God forbid.
Right. Because they don't want to show us as humans. In fact, they actively try to dehumanize the Free Staters. They've been saying things like Free Staters are an invasive species.
Which we are, but, well, not me, because I'm from here, but, you know.
Well, we're just people, right? Like, invasive species is like, oh, that's some sort of bug you have to crush. That's some sort of thing that is inhuman, right? Mm-hmm. Like, these are terms like people like Hitler have used in the past to describe people he wanted to exterminate. And so now you've got these people that love the government that are using similar terminology when it comes to Free Staters.
Well, if you don't like it here, you can leave.
Yep.
Indeed.
We're willing to help you, too.
Did you guys see that Bundy ad for, I think it was running for governor of Idaho?
No, Ammon Bundy?
Yeah, it was incredible. I mean, it was a great Free State ad, actually. He was in a U-Haul van, and he was just talking about how he was going to try to get rid of all the liberal BS that had accumulated over the last several years, and we'll even help you move. It'll be
That's
better,
awesome.
Our state will be better without you. So it was awesome.
How did he do? I totally forgot to look for his results in the election.
I would have seen it.
Got like 6 or 7%, which isn't bad for
a
third party, you know, independent. Huh. So.
Yeah, he was just an independent, right? Like, he wasn't running under
the
Libertarians. Yeah, that's not bad. That's not bad at all. I mean, Idaho was in the top three, I think, for the Free State Project, if I recall correctly. I think it was. I think it was number three after Wyoming, if I recall correctly. But still,
makes sense.
Sorry, it's landlocked. You know, it's not. It's just not as good of a.
Well,
place.
They've got the river, the Columbia River. So.
Don't give New Hampshire too much credit for not being landlocked. We only have a couple miles of coast.
13 miles of coastline.
It's still a deep water port.
True.
And,
very true.
And we've got the Canadian border as well. So you still have two international borders just to get, you know, to start with.
Gotcha.
And, of course, the size of New Hampshire, much smaller.
Yeah,
a lot easier to get around here. But I want to play more from this video here. This is from NBC Boston. The first part of the video is, and I'm just going to jump it back a little bit here, because we're in the section of the video. The first part's like all about Free State, people saying nice things about the liberty movement here and what libertarians believe and, you know, that kind of thing. Like, all right, come here, move here if you're a libertarian. And these are the people who say, no, don't move here if you're a libertarian. We hate you. We want you to go away. We hate the fact that you're here. And Xander Rice Hawkins is the most preeminent of them, but they feature a couple others here who I don't know, and I'm sure we're going to get to know as this series is released. But this is from NBCBoston.com.
My heart was racing, and I felt sick to my stomach.
People are just waking up to it.
They have been very serious about having people move into our state to change the way of life in New Hampshire. They want to create this libertarian utopia. void of public infrastructure and common laws.
They're showing, by the way, the video here includes imagery of guns, like a shooting range. There's a girl with a, just showing her T-shirt that says guns and Bitcoin on it. So really kind of giving you a feel for the libertarian community here.
I think it's really important to recognize that the Free State Project exists because theirs is a minority view.
Some of them.
Is it though? I mean, Reed, you grew up here. Is the Free State Project view, which is to say government should be as small as humanly possible, is that a minority view in your experience of knowing just the average New Hampshire person?
As small as humanly possible? I don't know. I mean, I think that I would say yes, probably, in New Hampshire, but I think it's a lot friendlier an idea to most people in New Hampshire than it would be anywhere else. Like, I think most people in New Hampshire don't hate the state, or like, you know, they don't have the belief that the government is inherently evil necessarily. They just don't think they need as much as most other people do. But so I think they're a lot more open to that idea than most other people are.
Yeah, I mean, I, having not lived here my whole life, only the last 15 or so years, when I encounter New Hampshire natives, I frequently encounter them saying things that are critical of the government. So, yeah, they may not have the principles, per se, of your typical libertarian activist, but there's something that's sort of endemic or, you know, native to being here, where they're raised in this atmosphere of people who are at least critical or at least, you know, not going to believe everything the government tells them. They're skeptical of the state, and they generally want to be left alone. They don't want to have a bunch of taxes and a bunch of stupid, you know, mandates being shoved down their throats. That much, I think, tends to be fairly commonly held as a viewpoint here. Would you say so?
Yeah, no, I think that's pretty accurate.
Yeah.
So
I think
sure.
that these people in this video, you know, obviously they have their viewpoint and they want it to be the majority viewpoint, which is to say we need, you know, bigger government. And I don't think that's going to fly with a lot of the New Hampshire natives. But here's more from the clip.
The measures that they advance could really hurt people. I think it's frightening.
Frightening.
We've right. read our history.
So now we're back to Free Stater Carla Garrick. She's a longtime president of the Free State Project, former president of the Free State Project.
One of my most favorite people.
Great activist. Yeah, longtime activist here. She's really fun. Here's what she has to say.
We know our history, and we see where things are heading.
Yeah, why shouldn't we be concentrating our like-minded souls in one geographic area so then we actually might have a chance of moving these ideas forward.
As that was me, by the way, in that that clip, and as I was saying that, they're showing images on screen of different individuals here in New Hampshire, Free Staters mostly, although not all, some locals, but, you know, the different personalities that are involved here in doing activism, and clearly these are people they're going to focus on, right? Like, they're going to have episodes that are focusing on these individuals. Aria is in there, Carly Garrick, and many other folks. So, and they're all looking, you know, very noble, right? Like, there's kind of these, like, slow tracking shots as the camera kind of pushes
in. Yeah, they did a great job.
Them.
They had some nice cameras on these beautiful gimbals. And
it's a gorgeous gorgeous clip. And they're also showing footage from the raid, by the way, the raid on the Crypto 6 on this very studio.
We don't want
to. I was going to say that they've interviewed me several times, so I can't wait to see part.
I'm looking forward to seeing what they come up with here. I think this is a great teaser. Here's a little bit more.
Wait for a collapse. We want to build an alternative, show people it can be successful.
We like New Hampshire the way it is. They clearly have a different vision. They've gone down a path that's too dark, and there's no coming back from it.
You recognize that voice, Reed?
Is that Nick Sarwar?
It's Nick Sarwar. Now, who is Nick Sarwar? Can you explain, Reed, who this person is?
Yeah, so Nick Sarwar is the former chair of the National Libertarian Party. Was it two terms or just one?
I think a couple, yeah.
I think it was a couple terms. And he seems like he used to be sort of reasonable back in the day, maybe. Mm-hmm. I didn't know him back then. But, yeah, he's gone completely off the rails, unhinged. I was actually at the convention last weekend.
The Libertarian Party of New Hampshire convention.
yeah, just the New Hampshire convention. And he sat alone in the corner, or there might have been someone at the table with him, but he, like, before the front part of the room was filled up, he showed up and went up into the balcony and sat there by himself. And then eventually other people were up there too, but he very obviously was removing himself.
He was there the previous year I went to. I couldn't go this year because I'm on house arrest basically, but he was there with his wife and one other guy, and they ended up leaving halfway through the event just because they could not have the effect that they wanted to on the event. They wanted to, I think, try to block certain proposals or whatever, and they were literally the only three in the entire room who were the opposition to what was happening, and they couldn't get anywhere, so they just left. Did he stay for the whole time this year?
He did. He stayed through the whole thing. There weren't any real altercations. They did disallow him from taking part in delegation, so they didn't expel him as a member, but it was a vote like 45-11 or something to disallow him from taking part in the convention, basically, I think.
Does that mean in the national delegation, meaning that the people they would send from New Hampshire to go to the Libertarian Party nationally, he's not allowed to be a part of that?
I don't think we do that this year, so I don't think it has any effect on that. Okay. But I think I'm not really sure how that works out. But
what do you think about this guy? I mean, like, there's always been this theory that Sarwark is a federal agent, that he's been working with the federal government for some time, and he's been trying to kind of throw a wrench into things. I mean, he definitely did seem to do that with the most recent election here in New Hampshire to the best that he could. It was last year. We have elections every 2 years in New Hampshire, and the the Libertarian Party of New Hampshire nominated a couple people, Jeremy Kaufman for Senate and Carlin Boroshenko for governor. It wasn't a huge amount of people, but we had two, and they spent a lot of time and a lot of effort, a lot of volunteer hours going out and getting signatures, because that's what you have to do as a third party in New Hampshire. You don't just get to pay $2 and get on the ballot. Which is what you can do if you're a Republican or a Democrat and you want to run for state rep, for instance. Yeah. Governor's a little more expensive. It's $100. So they, you know, the two big parties just pay $100, and that's it. They're on the ballot. But in the case of the Libertarian Party of New Hampshire, they have to go out and literally collect thousands of signatures, which took hours and hours and hours and weeks and weeks and weeks. And it was just people standing outside of Market Basket. We did some of it, Reed. You and I don't know if you had a chance, Joe, to go out and see any of this. But, it was a lot of work. And
no, I didn't. I'm sorry. I apologize.
You don't have to apologize. It's okay.
It's my fault they didn't win.
It's not right for everybody. And no, it's not. They did get on the ballot.
I know.
They did successfully get on the ballot. But what happened was this Sarwark character, he did his own, like, breakaway alternative Libertarian Party where he recruited people who didn't show up to the Libertarian Party convention, didn't throw their hat in the ring, didn't have a debate, didn't have any kind of discussion about like why they should be the candidates. Sarwark just said, I'm going to create another alternative, other people calling themselves Libertarians, and I'm going to put my own money behind, I presume it was his money, because apparently he's like a car dealer or a lawyer or
well,
unless
he's a socialist, then probably not his own money.
Yeah, he's got some success, I guess, in life. And so he funded some kind of campaign for these people. He had outside people come into the state, people who did not live in New Hampshire, come into the state to work these campaigns for these other people. He had, like, professional paid. Like, so while Jeremy and Carlin had volunteer people going out and getting signatures, Sarwark paid people, as I understand it, to go out and get signatures. And they barely made it. In fact, they ended up having to, like, challenge the initially they were rejected because they had enough signatures thrown out. They didn't get – like, normally you want to shoot for twice as many signatures because know they're going to disqualify a bunch of them. They didn't have twice as many. They had more than what they were required to have, but they disqualified a bunch. So they had to – I don't know. They sued over it or something, and then they ultimately did get their candidate on the ballot. One of them thankfully dropped out. The guy for Senate did drop out before – all was said and done, so that was good. So Jeremy Kaufman didn't have a Libertarian to run against. But the lady for governor, she pushed forward, and she ended up on the ballot going against. We actually had two people running as Libertarians on the governor race, which, of course, split the number of people who were willing to vote for a Libertarian, which is already a very small number of people in general. Yeah. Yeah. That basically split it roughly in half. And so, I mean, it... That definitely seems to me to be something that a, you know, a provocateur or some sort of an agent would come in and do. It's like, we're going to try to stir up as much drama and as much division within the Libertarian Party as possible. I mean, if he's not on the government's payroll, he's certainly doing their bidding without knowing it.
I was going to say, I think he's just like, I mean, he couldn't be doing any better of a job than if that was what his goal was. But I honestly can't imagine that the FBI cares that much about the Libertarian Party. I mean, we're so ineffective, you know, on the grand scale, so I can't imagine they'd even bother, like, messing with us.
I think generally that's true, as far as, like, the national level is concerned, and certainly the Libertarians aren't getting elected in New Hampshire either. They have to run as Republicans or Democrats in order to get elected here, but the FBI sure as hell is interested in the Free State Project. They have been investigating the Free State Project from as far back as 2005. Bill Christiana from the FBI office in Boston came to that trailer that you lived in, Joa, and he knocked on the door of that trailer in 2005, and he wanted to talk to Dave Ridley back then and ask him questions about his friends who were doing civil disobedience in New Hampshire at the time and whether or not that they were violent, so-called. So this guy has been investigating the Free State Project for almost two decades now that we're aware of, and they finally got their big score with the Crypto 6 a couple of years ago, people selling Bitcoin without asking government permission, but they haven't actually managed to find any violent people.
No.
They haven't managed to.
No, they haven't, and they won't.
Yeah. No, and I hope they won't. I mean, likely anybody talking about violence within this movement is probably working for the FBI.
And, I mean, a lot of people say, oh, you're not actually libertarian. Well, if you believe in violence and you're willing to use violence for political gains, you are not libertarian.
No, it makes you more like the government.
Yeah, you make you. Yeah,
that's
exactly.
What they do.
Exactly.
That's their tool. All right, so let me get back to, there's a little more here, about a minute left in this video here, again, talking to people on both sides. This is NBC Boston, their premiere, or rather their trailer of what's going to be a series of short documentaries about the Free State Project and the libertarian migration here to New Hampshire. They're talking to some of the haters here as well, including Zandra Hawkins from the Granite State Progress.
Their end goal is really dangerous.
I just want to be with other people who want freedom. We just want you to move to New Hampshire and help us make New Hampshire smaller government. That's all we want.
There are a boatload of us here, and there are more and more coming, and in a way, we're taking over.
Silver Dave.
My boy.
That is what, you know, is definitely going to upset a lot of people, right? The line like that. In a way, we're taking over. And, of course, the Free State Project, originally back in the day, had language like that associated with its kind of the publicity surrounding it, that it was going to, quote-unquote, take over New Hampshire, when everyone knows, you know, by raw numbers, 20,000 people isn't going to take over anything. That's not enough people. It's not even like 1%. Of the number of voters.
Well, in all fairness, if that 20,000 people, and not everyone that has moved here for the Free State Project is involved, but imagine 20,000 people moving here and getting involved.
Yeah, that'd be huge.
We're already the, like, you know, other than lobbyists and special interests in the State House, it's Free Staters mostly that I see testifying.
Yeah.
I don't see any other people other than, you know, cops and politicians. And because we care about it enough to want to get involved and make the change. And, you know, it's a beautiful thing. And I think that, you know, we can get more people. There are plenty of people out there that believe in liberty, but not the state they live in.
Yeah, they got to get here. And, you know, one of the key differences, because people say, well, what about the people that are moving from Massachusetts? You know, there are bad people moving to New Hampshire. And the answer is, as you point out here, Joa, the average Free Stater is more likely to be an activist than the person just moving to from Massachusetts to southern New Hampshire. That person might be wanting to move to New Hampshire, actually, in many cases, for more freedom. Sometimes you get freedom-loving people coming up.
They don't even realize it. They do in some essence, but like they're like, oh, I really need to move to New Hampshire because they don't have taxes. They only have the property tax. Well, I don't want to own a property. I just want to rent. And then there's no sales tax? Yeah, I kind of like this. I want to move to New Hampshire. But they don't call themselves Free Staters.
No.
They just want to enjoy the fruits that we've been I don't want to say we. It's just what has been preserved, you know?
And to be fair, some Free Staters are more active than others. There are people who just move here and they just kind of bring their family up and they go to school or, you know, do homeschooling or whatever, and they might go out and vote once in a while. And,
yeah.
You know, that's the end of it. So I think the 80-20 rule is in effect, right? So if you've got 20,000 people moving here, maybe you'd have, you know, 4,000 people doing things, right?
Yeah.
Like, 'cause 80-20 is a real thing.
Yeah.
You know, so, and I've heard estimates as high as 8,000 people have moved here. I don't know if I buy that one. I think there's definitely been several thousand, maybe four or five, somewhere in that range that have moved, because there's also a lot of people who've left over the years, and those people usually don't get counted. But then again, there's also people who moved and they don't want to be counted. So there's like a whole category of non-joiner types who, they will not join the Free State Project. They won't join, you know, other organizations, but they know this is the place to be. So they get here. So that's why we just need more people. And that's why I love media like this, because when this gets out there, and it doesn't matter to me how nasty the anti-Free Staters are, that the nastier they are, the more of it's like a badge of honor.
Yeah.
Right? Because it means they hate us because we're effective.
And people are like, oh, wow, these people are actually pissing off the left over here.
Right.
I want to be part of that.
All right, here's the rest of it.
There's no place like New Hampshire to raise a family and to plan ahead for the next 100 years.
Not taking over to rule you, taking over to liberate you.
If you believe in America, you've got to take action when these groups come to town.
Trump didn't save us. Biden didn't save us.
Okay, so that's Zandra, by the way, right there, that little insert with, if you believe in America, you got to take action when these people come to town. So she's trying to recruit, too. She's trying to let people know this is what happened in 2022 in the election season, was the Democrats started advertising hard against Free Stater candidates in New Hampshire. And this was the big question in the election of 2022. As I was going into it, it's like, I've never seen it at this level before. Because I've seen a lot of election cycles, being here for 16 years. We have elections every 2 years.
Yep.
And, you know, every now and then they'll pick a Free Stater in one town and they'll like buy a mailer, right, that goes to all the households that attacks that person for being a Free Stater. So that's happened. And it kind of happens every election here and there. But in 2022, it was like an all-out attack. They spent big money identifying. They always try to identify all the Free Staters, but now they wanted to attack them specifically for being Free Staters. They wanted to let the Republicans know, hey, look out. You don't want to vote for these Free Staters Republicans. You want to vote for real Republicans. Like, even the Democrats were spending money trying to promote the quote-unquote real Republicans in 2022.
It's a beautiful thing.
Yeah, and when all was said and done, more Free State Project people got elected in 2022 than ever before.
Whoop, whoop.
So it did not work for them. In fact, it seemed to work against them. Hour 3's coming up.
Do you ever get the feeling that the world is being held together with duct tape? Every day we're thrown some new meaningless drama in the fake news to distract us from the reality we're all about to face. Between the government trying to print their way out of debt, military conflicts, the disintegration of our most trusted institutions, and a looming food shortage, preparedness is no longer a choice. It's a necessity. You can trust My Patriot Supply. Our emergency food kits come packed with tasty meals, averaging over 2,000 calories per day. Get at least one kit for each person in your family. Self-reliance is the only alternative to government food lines. Time is running out. Become ungovernable. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com and save on dozens of different emergency food kits while you can. These kits are in stock, ship fast, and arrive in unmarked boxes for your privacy. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com before the next crisis strikes. MyPatriotSupply.com.
G'day, I'm Jamel that works with Dr. Joel Wallach and the GCN team with Youngevity at TeamG'day.com. By becoming an associate, you provide income for you and your family on your own hours while working from home. So contact me, Jamel, by filling in the contact box at teamg'day.com, and I will get back to you personally and provide all the support you need to get started and build your Youngevity business. Teamg'day.com. Teamg'day.com.
As Dr. Wallach says, we all have nutrient deficiencies in our diets and must supplement with 90 essential nutrients in proper balances. At no cost or obligation, Get a personal certified holistic health coach to help you develop a supplement program based on Dr. Wallach's recommendations. Call Linda at 833-VITAL-90. That number to call is 833-848-2590. That's 833-VITAL-90.